Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You want to make sure you're fully stocked on this New Year's Eve. Maybe everyone prefers water and wine coolers. They got plenty of those. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots of soft drinks, plenty of snacks. You need to snack your way through the college football playoff games and everything else that's going on. All right? All that and much more, all right? They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar. Yes, you there in Crowdsville. Let's all say it together now. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio on this New Year's Eve. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, the Sunbury Motors studio mobile today here in Tampa. All right, Penn State and Arkansas tomorrow at Raymond James Stadium, the home of Tom Brady and the Bucks. Also, Chris Godwin and Donovan Smith, and at one point, A.Q. Shipley. They will play tomorrow. 12:05, the kick with a 10:30 airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And I mean, COVID's still, causing issues. I mean, the Lady Lion basketball game last night with Iowa was postponed. The COVID-19 issues were within the Lady Lion program. So how the game's being treated in relation to the Big Ten Conference policy will be announced in the next few days. And ticket holders, of course, were notified. They'll be notified once the Big Ten informs everybody what the policy is, because conferences have been changing their policies now. Because, I mean, that's a conference game last night that was postponed. It's not like what happened with Penn State on the men's side with games that were canceled. They were canceled. But conference games, they want to play all of them and somehow fit them in. And part of it's going to be, where can you fit them in? What's the travel schedule look like? When does each team have bye weeks? Because basketball has subtle bye weeks. Suddenly it's a week where you're playing on a Sunday and you don't play again until the next Sunday, so you don't have a game in the middle of the week. That's a bye week. Or you play on a Wednesday and you don't play again until Thursday the next week. The weekend you didn't play, so that's a bye week. So basketball has two of those built in during the course of the year, during the course of a season. We'll see how that plays out. All right, let's get to some football now. Let's bring in our really good friend, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, great to have you with us. As always, welcome. Happy holidays to you and that great family of yours.
Hey, same to you, Steve. Hey, can you get Franco on today?
Yeah, probably should try to. Why not?
Hey, the guy I looked up to, my favorites growing up, so you can tell who I rooted for.
He is really, he and Dana, his wife Dana, they are, Franco and Dana are great people. I mean, just great people. I enjoy every second I'm around them. So
absolutely
great people. All right. So, Sean Clifford gets a second year with an offensive coordinator. He was wide open. He's the one that brought it up. He wasn't asked about it. He brought it up. I think that says a lot, Frank, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, he wants, he's a team guy, but he also sees, I think, that, hey, I want to go out the best way, too, and who knows if I'm going to get to play ball after this, so let's take advantage of it. I mean, kudos to him. It puts Penn State in a great position, in that position, which obviously is the most important one in a lot of ways. They have some options now, and they have the most experienced quarterback, probably one of the most in the country, that's going to help them out.
No question. Now you flip it to the other side. The inevitable happened, and Brent Pry left. When Manny Diaz finally met with the media, and I thought the question, I think, told you a lot about him, was how he handled the question about Temple in the brief period of time he was Temple's coach. I mean, at that point, you said, he was wide open, direct, and honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it sounds like James has been you know, he's been a guy that's been on his list. He's been watching closely. And when you get him, you get a guy that I think you believe in his defensive philosophy. But more than that, you get a guy that's led programs. I mean, yeah, he was only at Temple for a bit, but look at what he did at Miami. Mm-hmm. He has that experience. You have a guy, you lose Brent, which is hard, but you get another head coach in there to lead your defense. And we mentioned being able to have him come in and keep Anthony Poindexter. I mean, that should be a really good combination for a team. I mean, in this day and age, look at how much you have to rebuild your defense every year with guys leaving and coming and going. And so that's the best they can hope for. I mean, I'll see how you could do better.
All right, yeah, let me ask you about that. How tough is it, do you think, for a coach that they have to go out and recruit their own team every single year instead of just thinking about recruiting guys to come in to then be a part of it, like, quote, the old days?
I don't see how they do it. Why would you want to be a part of being head coach at that level?
I know.
You could see why. I mean, you know, guys like Bill O'Brien, you know, does he really want to be a head coach in college? Because you got to deal with all this. I mean, we're familiar with Bruce Arians, and he spent a lot of time in college, but I don't think he'd want any part of being a head college coach with the recruiting of the high school players. But then you're, like you said, your own team. I mean, you got to delve in to accept it. You got to know it's coming. It's part of who you are, and you're going to have to go and rely on young players, and you're turning it over all the time. I mean, there's no banking on guys being there 3 and 4 years. I mean, Brandon Smith's a perfect example. I think of a guy who probably came in with, maybe I'll be here 3 years, and that's what he is. I mean,
right.
And that's the norm now. I think that's the difference from even 10 years ago.
Well, I know that's what I think of when I see a high profile high school player coming to the program. I'm always thinking about 3-year windows now, and I didn't think that 15 years ago.
No, you didn't think that. So they have two linebackers, you know, the two young linebackers for this bowl game. If you play them, they lose a year of eligibility, right? But does that matter? If you think at this point in this day and age, if those two kids, you know, if you don't envision them being here 4 and 5 years, if you think they're that talented, does it matter that they lose a year of so-called eligibility by playing a bowl game? I think they're going to play. Because it's a different time now. And now, of course, obviously, it's also different because 10 years ago, you never thought about guys not playing in a bowl game.
Right. We never thought about that until Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette started everyone down this road. See, what I'm waiting for this to happen, I'm not waiting for it, but I'm anticipating it, is the team that is 4-4 after 8 games, and the star player says, "I'm going to the draft, yep, and I'm leaving." See, in midseason, not for the bowl game. Like, I'm not participating in the last 4 games. I'm wondering when that's going to happen.
Right, because I mean, if you played your last regular season game and you're okay to do that physically, but you're suddenly not for the bowl. I mean, I understand the player situation, but I think for maybe older folks like us, it's a little hard because you didn't grow up like that. That philosophy was not there. I mean, look at the Peach Bowl. The two Heisman Trophy candidates are not playing. So if you're the Peach Bowl, do you almost like, can we get two other teams maybe at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the game you signed up for. I mean, it's your star players on each side aren't participating. I can't imagine that 10 years ago.
What's it like for you, Frank, on your side of it? Because there was a way to cover it before. You know, you cover a game, you cover a bowl game, you cover recruiting, you cover spring practice. Right. What's it like now doing your job with transfer portals, players maybe in, maybe not? What's that like for you on your side?
I think it's just busier. I mean, suddenly after the regular season, you would kind of know the timing of things. Well, now it's watching every day, you know, and it's there because there's always something going. There's always there's always player personnel moves now, which is more like the pro game. I mean, there's always something to watch for as far as not just coaches leaving, but our players. I mean, Penn State never had, I don't think they ever had a player opt out of a bowl game till now, correct?
To my knowledge, no.
Right. So you kind of thought about it with Saquon and things, but, you know, he ended up playing. And that hasn't been an issue. Well, now we still don't know how many players are going to suit up in that game on January 1st. I mean, I bet it'll be more guys will be sitting out than what we kind of officially know now. So that's a whole different way of thinking, and I'm not even sure how to maybe a whole answer that part of it yet, because we've never been through it at Penn State.
Right.
Now, that's a whole different situation.
It is a whole different situation. So when it comes to Twitter, do you have to follow every player's Twitter account these days, Frank? Is that how you have to do it? How's that happen?
It depends on what your responsibilities are. So I cover Penn State, but then I do other things as well.
Right.
But there's certain reporters that's all they do. I mean, that's their 24/7 type of the whole 12 months of the year. So I think it depends on who you're looking at. I think a lot of the websites and the reporters in State College, yeah, you're definitely on that all the time, because you got to be able to report immediately if somebody is leaving, coming, going. And then Penn State's beat's different too. You got to understand, because it's probably more people, more media people cover Penn State football than any program in the country, or just as many, right? So a lot different than, say, even Syracuse football. Nothing against Syracuse, but there's a lot of schools. I don't know if people realize this, is that huge difference in how many media people are covering Penn State than other programs. Just the history, the tradition, the makeup of the state, so on. So there's, you know, you almost don't even have to follow every player. You just have to follow the main media people, too, on some of the different websites to know what's going on. But it's all the time now.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because in basketball, college basketball, you and I both know that UConn travels a million people to cover them. Kentucky's the same way. But Penn State football is the same way. I would say the Penn State football media contingent on the road has to be the largest of any in the country.
I still remember, 10 years ago, we go to Illinois, and Herb Gould is a reporter, a longtime sports reporter there, and he's saying to us, the only contingent that ranks up with this is when the Yankees come to Chicago. There's no other following to him in the country than the media that covers Penn State football, at least, you know, in that perspective. So that gives you an idea.
The ACC changed its forfeiture policy. The Big Ten is in the process of reviewing it. So I think they're going to go the same way as the ACC, where they're saying, hey, look, maybe we shouldn't be doing forfeits here. Because the Big East in college basketball has already had, three forfeits already?
Right.
What do you think about the ability to change on the fly that some of these conferences are doing with forfeits?
Wow. I mean, it doesn't really come into play as much with football, which is mostly what I do. But basketball, I mean, you have so many games and things happen so quickly, and it's
– right.
I'm glad I do not have to be part of figuring that out, Steve. because how do you make up – how easy is it to make up college basketball game in the middle of winter?
You usually have to have a couple of days buffer between games for both teams. That's the way it has to be. You can't do it like you're playing in a tournament when everybody's there at once. You can play back-to-back days. You can't play back-to-back days. You have to it has to be almost like a swing. Hey, you're going to play Iowa. Hey, you got to make up that game with Nebraska. Okay, we'll stay out here for an extra day and do that. I think that's where the scheduling part comes in. And also, there are actually two bye weeks. Like, when I mean byes, in other words, 1 week you're not playing in the middle of the week, 1 week you're not playing on a weekend. So all the teams have two, quote, byes built into their schedules. So there is some room in the Big Ten to do something like that.
Right. But then, you know, the reason they're forfeit, if they could possibly cancel a game, is right now because of COVID. So then, how far out? You can't just play then maybe a day or two later, because you'd still be in the same situation as to why you canceled the game.
Exactly.
So then you have to look out further for the window, which, yeah, wow.
I mean, look at the NHL. The NHL is not going to play again until Sunday. Okay, that's fine. you know, like, okay, you got to make up all these games. Well, they're not going to go to the Olympics, which meant they were going to be playing games anyway. That's where they're going to make it up. See, they've got windows. Right. See, the NHL now has a built-in window to do that. So, interesting times.
Yeah.
Very interesting
times.
Yeah,
we just got to get through the holidays.
But, yeah.
and I'm not actually going to the Outback Bowl, but I'll be watching it and reporting about it. But it's a different, going to have a different feel to the game, I think, than we're used to in the past. And I think it's a new reality. And I think it's not just Penn State, but how much will bowl games matter going forward? I mean, people might have a different take on it. So it is a new reality here.
Well, here's the part that that is never gets talked about. If they're, quote, meaningless exhibitions, why do they count on your record?
Well, yeah, and your stats count.
Okay, it's a game.
Counts.
You're playing a game, okay? So play.
Well, that's it. And then you get the very, I think, divisive thoughts on people who, one, agree with players opting out, and two, people who don't, mm-hmm. and get to be a pretty, you know, tough line to walk because everybody has their own opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not one of the players, I can see it both ways. But when it's not with something you're not used to and you think of it a certain way, the change is difficult, I think. I mean,
well, that's why when James brought this up, I for a year I've been talking about a 12-team playoff. I mean, I was talking about it 4 or 5 months before it was brought up. I thought, oh, wow. I doubt they were listening to the show, but gee, you know.
Right.
Isn't that neat? Now, James says go big. And you know what? I'm for 16 for a couple of reasons. Number one, the money. Is it like three reasons? The money, of course, would be great. Number two, it would stop the opt-outs for at least 16 quality teams who obviously have a lot of quality players. And number three, here's one that nobody ever thinks about, right? Guess what? You better keep going to class because you can't and take your finals because you can't be academically ineligible.
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know what it'll do to the bowl game beyond the 16 teams, but, you know, you can't have it all. You have to be able to get as much as you can, and I think your thought is, and your reasons are, keep things more. It's interesting. It's at least more like what you want to pay attention to. It's mm-hmm. something to look forward to. I'm not looking forward to the Peach Bowl, for example.
Right.
And Penn State could be without half their defense for this game. I mean, we don't know yet, but, I mean, you still have guys that, you know, they might not have Ebikidi. They could. Who knows if Derek Tangelo will play? Or
right.
I mean, the list could go on. I mean, you know, so it's going to look not like a regular game,
right?
In that, if that goes to that point, it's not going to look right. It's going to look a little more, people joke, but like a little more like a blue-white game in some ways with guys that just don't play, and you're going to be more developmental, I think, in a lot of ways. That's where we're headed.
Yeah, interesting. But I'll say this, when the Outback Bowl sends out its information, one of the things that's in the Outback Bowl directory is the amount of money they've donated to charities over the years. Most of these bowl games do that. That's right. That's why they'll stay.
Yeah, yeah, there is money there, yeah, and that's why they're still here.
Yep, yeah, it's good for the Chamber of Commerce, everything else.
Absolutely.
Hey, Merry Christmas, yeah. My good friend.
Thank you so much
for everything.
All the best. For the holidays.
You and that great family of yours, and you have a great family. So
pass on a happy birthday to Jack.
Okay. I will, as a matter of fact. Thanks. All right.
Take care.
All right. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Always great to have Frank on the show. And coming up in the next half hour, we'll have Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. Final half hour, Nate Bauer on 3.com. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online here at sunburymotors.com. Mobile here in Tampa as Penn State gets ready to take on Arkansas tomorrow at 12:05, 10:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070,
WKOK. Next half hour, we'll have Rich Scarcella joining us from Reading Eagle. Final half hour, Nate Bauer from On3.com. And our thanks to Frank Bodani and Donnie Collins for joining us in this opening hour of the show. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.